This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think that people just need to bring a general sense of more positivity into their lives, and they'll watch their life turn around.
You did not disappoint, Justin Reed. That's why we call you the football Stuart Smalley, man.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Texans outside linebacker Jonathan Grenard said he wants to hit a quarterback. It's been a long time since he has.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Will he hit a quarterback on
Sunday? I endorse that.
Go ahead and call your shot. Little early
Friday.
Will
he hit a quarterback? Yes. A lot of times they're falling into him at the end of after a guy releases a ball. Will he sack a quarterback? I wouldn't bet on it.
He might get hit by a quarterback.
He might get hit by what?
He might fall into him is basically what you just said.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, what's your thought?
No.
Don't pass judgment on mine without giving me yours.
I think Ross Blacklock gets his first sack.
What about Grenard?
Texans versus the Patriots on Sunday. Texans a 2-point underdog. We'll get to that prediction a little bit later on. This is what you want to happen if you're a Texans fan, and then the OG is going to tell you what should happen.
Right.
Here on the Football Friday edition of In the Loop. Packers at Colts. This is self-explanatory. You want the Packers to upset the Colts. Colts are currently sitting at 6-3. They're one of nine teams with that. They're first place in the AFC South. Texans have two games remaining with them, so you want the Packers to beat the Colts. Is it going to happen, John?
I think the Colts win this, and I thought our guy Lee Sterling put it perfectly. If you say the top two or three players in the game, you're going to say they're Packers. The next nine or ten are Colts, and a lot of those guys are on defense. And that's going to be a problem for Aaron Rodgers. I think the Colts are going to win this.
I think Matt Eberflus is going to be a really good NFL coach.
Yeah.
The defensive coordinator for the Colts.
And you'll see that defense. It's going to be a great game.
The Cowboys' defense has fallen apart since he left a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Matt Eberflus is a very good coach. I think he's going to be a good head coach. I think he might get hired as soon as in the next couple months. Titans at Ravens. This one's interesting because you want the Ravens to win, but the Ravens aren't going to win their division, or neither are the Titans. So typically you would root for the team that's not in the division. It's really a win-win situation if you're the Texans, because if the Titans lose and the Colts lose, both of those teams will come down to you.
Yeah.
If the Ravens lose, then a team that is ahead of you in the standings will come down. You want Baltimore to win because they're going to have the tiebreaker over the Texans when it comes head-to-head. You can still split with the Titans. So you want the Ravens to win. Is that going to happen? 6.5-point favorite at home, Baltimore versus Tennessee.
First of all, the Texans are a non-factor in any playoff talk.
We're still laying out the perfect week.
Zero factor in playoffs.
We still got to lay out the perfect week.
No, I get it. I'm not pouring cold water on your premise, but just the playoff part of it is just not part of it. So what is going to happen for me?
You lollygagger.
Am I a lingerer? I think the Ravens are finally going to plug in. It's about that point in the year. They've been kind of hard to gauge, kind of hard to get a good feel for them getting into a rhythm like they were last year, all year in a rhythm. I think it's starting to kick in. I think the Ravens get this.
Steelers at Jags. You want the Jags to win. Right now the Jags have the number three pick. You want them to win because you don't want them to
now that's a good pick.
Have a crack
at a good reason.
Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. So you want the Jags to win so that they potentially get pushed back. They have one win right now. Steelers undefeated. Do the Jags get that dub?
I thought the Steelers would stub their toe and have a trap game last week.
Are they the worst 9-0 team ever?
No, they're really, really good.
They're good, but are they 9-0 good? Like, do you feel like they're better than the Chiefs? Do you feel like they're head and shoulders above
the
Ravens?
That's saying a lot, though.
You think they're that much better than Buffalo? Like, normally when you're 9-0, it's like, oh, this team. How much do you respect the Steelers? I mean, I think they're a contender, but I don't look at them as the best team in the AFC. And I almost feel like if there were a playoff game going on, I would give a couple teams
I'd give one team a good chance to beat them, and that would be the Steelers. The Chiefs. But I thought last week they would have a trap game. They blew out the Bengals. So I'm going to predict a trap game here. Steelers win, but not by 10.5. If you are a betting person.
Eagles at Browns. You want the Eagles to win because you want the Browns to come down to you in the playoff standings.
Yes, in the what?
In the playoff standings.
In the what?
Eagles at Browns. You're rooting for the Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen?
I mean, the
Myles Garrett, by the way, with the COVID.
Just going to say that.
He's on the COVID list.
He's on the COVID list.
On the COVID list. He doesn't have it. A week
too late.
Well,
we don't know if he has it or not.
Week too late, if you ask me.
Yeah. I still think the Browns are going to have trouble, but they're going to win. I think Baker Mayfield, he's not elite, but he's getting better.
And that'd be a hell of a win for the Browns, especially with a lot of the teams in front of them playing each other.
Yeah.
Falcons at Saints. Saints going to start Taysom Hill. Not Jameis Winston. Taysom Hill is going to start for the Saints. You want the Falcons to win because maybe Raheem Morris wins the head coaching job if the Falcons keep playing well. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's a possibility. So it would be one less team in the coaching search if that long shot happened. Are the Falcons going to beat the Saints with Taysom Hill?
No, I'm as confused and perplexed as anybody about Taysom Hill getting the start here. I just don't get the love fest with this guy. But
if you were a Longhorn fan, you watched him face Texas.
41-7, I believe. I just saw a highlight. Somebody just tweeted. Was that what the score was?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. You know all the scores.
I don't remember.
Anywho,
I just remember him.
But as long as they have Kamara, they're gonna win. I think
the Falcons are gonna get him.
I think it's gonna be a good game.
Calvin Ridley, by the way, gonna play for the Falcons. Alvin Kamara, we don't know. That's to be determined. So Latavius Murray might be a guy to look at if you are a fantasy owner. Washington football team versus the Bengals. You want Washington to win. You're battling with the Bengals in the AFC standings, so you gotta make up that ground. Washington football team.
Sorry, what?
Washington football team.
You're battling what?
Is Washington going to beat Cincinnati?
I think Cincinnati gets this. They were embarrassed last week, and they are not facing that good a team.
Texans will be facing the Lions in less than a week. Lions are traveling to Carolina to face the Carolina Panthers. P.J. Walker of XFL brilliance here might get the start. Teddy Bridgewater's been hobbled. You want the Lions to win because you want Matt Patricia to somehow save his job and the Lions not need a head coach. I don't know if Matt Patricia is going to be able to save his job, but that's what you want. You want the Lions to beat the Panthers. Is it going to happen?
This is one of the sneaky good games in terms of competitiveness.
What?
I think they're at the same level. I think the Lions actually win this game in Carolina.
No Christian McCaffrey, maybe no
right.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
So Lions, probably a little bit better team on paper. Broncos at Dolphins. You want the Broncos to beat the Dolphins. Dolphins are just way too hot. They've won 3 games in a row. Broncos versus Dolphins. Do the Broncos have a chance to beat the Dolphins?
Yeah, they do, but I don't think they are. Dolphins rolling really, really strong right now. It's almost like they're energized by the Texans having a bad year, too, because they're like, man, we keep winning. We got the number 5 draft pick. They're playing good football, and Tua's finally grooving as well.
Jets at Chargers. You want the Jets to just stay with that number 1 pick. You want them to be the
yes.
team that gets Trevor Lawrence, not Jacksonville. So you want the Jets to beat the Chargers. Are the Jets going to beat the Chargers?
The Chargers, speaking if you're a betting person, let me look. I have it right here. What the point spread is on this game. Whatever it is, it's 8.5. Now 9.5. Lay that number. The Chargers are going to destroy the Jets. Did you see who the Jets are starting in the secondary? One guy that they just got last week, a rookie, and then 2 Jags, basically. He's going to carve them up, Justin Herbert.
Cowboys at Vikings. This one's interesting. Cowboys are still in the mix in the NFC East, despite the fact they have the same record as your Houston Texans. Vikings playing a lot better than their 0-3 start. They've got slight playoff hopes. Jerry Jones was on our sister station, 105.3. The Fan, said that Zeke Elliott's their best football player. Dalvin Cook, probably the best running back in the NFL this year. Cowboys, Vikings, you want the Vikings to win if you're a Texans fan, just because you want the Cowboys to be in the mix to potentially snag up one of those quarterbacks in the draft.
Yeah.
Do the Cowboys beat the Vikings?
No, I think the Vikings are going to win this. You mentioned the reason why. I think Dalvin against that Cowboys defense that has struggled is just going to carve them up. We're quite familiar with Dalvin Cook's work.
Chiefs at Raiders. The Raiders took a victory lap when they handed the Chiefs their only win of the season. You want the Chiefs to get that dub. They're running away with the AFC West. Raiders right there in contention for the playoffs. You want the Chiefs to win. Do the Chiefs get their revenge against the victory lap Raiders?
I think they do, and I think they're going to do some sort of victory lap themselves. That's not to say I'm down on the Raiders. I think the Raiders are a lot better than I thought they were going to be, but I think the Chiefs are just going to – they're motivated. They have a grudge. This is one of those beef games, and it's gonna work for them.
Rams at Tampa Bay. The L.A. Rams, one of the best defenses. Sean McVay, one of the best offensive minds. Tampa Bay with Tom Brady and their very underrated defense. Really doesn't matter what happens here if you're a Texans fan, but since I do have to choose a side and not sit on the fence, I'll say you want the Rams to win. If you're scared that Todd Bowles could be a coaching candidate for the Houston Texans, you want that defense to struggle so that maybe his value goes down. So I'll say you want the Rams to win. Is that going to happen, OG?
Yeah, I just think I'm just picking this game because I think the Rams are going to be the better team on Sunday, and their defense is going to be able to do some things. I don't have a problem with Todd Bowles. I know he had a horrible time in his first.
I don't
effort.
Think he looks that bad with the Jets with what happened since he left.
Right,
honestly.
Right. No, I'm not down on Todd Bowles as a candidate.
I like Todd.
Yeah,
I like Todd a lot, but I don't know that he would excite a lot of the fan base. I don't think the fan base would be. I don't think there'd be a parade if Todd Bowles was the next coach of the Texans.
No, there are some preconceived notions about him, but I'm just here to tell you, put those aside. I think he's legit.
A lot of stuff going on in college football. Bedlam, one of the games, Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. Baker Mayfield's been known to talk trash about his rivals whenever his alma mater Oklahoma is facing somebody. He's talked a lot of crap about Texas. Jake Trotter of ESPN tried to make Baker bite the hook about Oklahoma State. Do you think he bit it, yes or no?
100%.
Jake, what are you trying to stir up right now?
Just seeing if you're gonna say anything.
A little brother always needs to be put in his place, Jake. You know that.
On Oklahoma State, the little brother.
Ding, ding, ding.
Was not hard. He made it happen. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. What a difference a year makes. Texans versus Patriots on Sunday. Let's look back at what this matchup used to mean and what it currently is next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
I think this might be the biggest insult that a coaching staff can get. Adrian Peterson. He's a Texan.
Mm-hmm. Lives in the Woodlands now.
Palestine. Shook his hand once. Didn't make that mistake again the next couple times I came across him.
He's a bad dude.
Future Hall of Famer. Legend. Now with the Detroit Lions, kind of just hanging on. He's not what he once was. When asked why the Lions are starting DeAndre Swift,
mm-hmm.
the running back out of Georgia, he's now starting for the Lions, and Adrian Peterson's kind of being that change of pace guy. Adrian Peterson told the Detroit media this when asked about DeAndre Swift starting. He said he told the coaches after they told him that Swift was going to start, Adrian Peterson told the coaches, you should have done this 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. You can't blame a guy for honesty.
How stupid can a coaching staff look when a guy like Adrian Peterson tells you...
Who plays the position
and is one guy who... Father Time has caught up with, but there's been talk about Adrian Peterson maybe being a little bit stubborn. When you make Adrian Peterson the backup and you present it to him, you're probably a little bit scared because you feel like there might be some backlash.
Right. And you're kind of reverence to his career, you know.
He straight up told him you should have done this 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Dude, what took you so long? That's what he's saying.
It's a bad look.
Oh, my God. And he's had enough. I mean, he's done. Yeah, I mean, he's just cashing checks now, right? Yeah,
padding yards.
Yeah. Well, yards. Yeah, he's going to get his carries here and there.
It's padding yards.
Yeah.
But that's what he's doing.
That's about all.
Texans versus Patriots on Sunday. These organizations have been linked for really 6-7 years since Bill O'Brien was brought in.
Mm-hmm.
You bring a guy in that had the ties to New England, and for a long time it seemed like the Texans were bringing in Patriots, and they were trying to adapt the Patriot way. You had Ryan Mallett. You had Brian Hoyer, backups. It seemed like he was bringing in assistant coaches. Mike Vrabel, who played in New England, was the defensive coordinator. You had Jack Easterby come over, the Nick Caserio drama.
Yep.
Last year, the Texans finally beat the Patriots, and you know Mark Vandermeer said that they took down Goliath, and you were trying to get to that point. You were trying to be the Patriots, and while you were a busted version of it, that's what you were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as recent as last year, a lot was made of the Texans beating the Patriots.
Yes, 100%.
My, oh my, how things have changed. Because Sunday, you got the 4-5 New England Patriots coming here with Cam Newton. There are guys that played in this game a year ago that are no longer here. And you have a Texans organization that has gone from trying to get to where the Patriots are to where now it seems like they're chasing a few teams in the AFC. And they've gone from wanting to be good to great to now being really bad to trying to get back to being good again.
Mm-hmm.
Life comes at you fast. It is going to be weird on Sunday to pull up to NRG on a Texans-Patriots day,
mm-hmm.
walk into the stadium, and see the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, on the sidelines, and there not be that envious feeling that we used to have every time the Patriots would come in town. It's going to be kind of weird to me.
Yes, in terms of like, This is the Patriots, the dynasty. I'm still going to be a little envious, though.
Well, yeah, because they're rebuilding and competing.
They did it in less time than you. I mean, the Texans have kind of been rebuilding around Deshaun Watson for what, 3 years probably, since he really became the starter and started establishing himself. And they've been trying to find the right parts to take that next step and get good. Instead, they went backwards and they fired their head coach. The Patriots rebuilt in one offseason. I mean, I know they have a long way to go.
They have a crap ton of cap space this offseason, too.
They have a long way to go to get back. Well, I mean, everybody does. To get back to a Super Bowl type caliber team. But in one offseason, they've broken it down, lost players, and already built it back up and passed you. And, I mean, we'll see what happens on Sunday. The Texans could easily win. But in terms of breaking it down and building it back up, they've done it in one offseason. Coaching matters. Personnel decisions matter. Culture matters.
You've been watching the Patriots now for 9-10 games, whatever it is, 9 games for them. And it was weird when you first watched the Patriots and Tom Brady wasn't, you know, in the shotgun or under center and Cam Newton was there. I just think it's going to hit home even more on Sunday. And I know that, you know, the Texans aren't competing for a playoff spot. And I know that the Patriots are still a 4-5 team. But I do think it's going to hit me a little bit more when you're watching a team that you follow, a team that you cover, that has tried so long to be something that was the best dynasty that we've ever seen for 2 decades on the field. It's going to be weird, man. It's going to be weird. And I think
it's just going to be weird not seeing Tom Brady.
I mean, just think last Sunday. I mean, last year on Sunday night when, you know, we were at the stadium, it was full, it was electric because Sunday night, it was a Sunday night football game. We were walking around, Figgy was judging tailgates. We were tailgating before. Having an awesome time, Patriots in town, you know, can Bill O'Brien finally beat his old team? Are the Texans going to beat the Patriots for the second time in franchise history? Deshaun Watson versus Brady,
mm-hmm.
DeAndre Hopkins under the lights, rowdy crowd, everyone's excited. Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth on the call, and you could tell that the Patriots were kind of on the decline, but there was just that energy, there
yeah.
was just that buzz.
Yeah.
Around the game, and here we are now.
And here we are now, and all of a sudden, you're looking at the Patriots. Cam Newton is the new quarterback, new running back, new everybody.
No Edelman.
No Edelman.
Half their defense, like that. I think 3 of their top 4 tacklers from last year are out. 2 of the Texans' 3 tacklers last year either gone or out for the game.
And even if the Patriots don't make the playoffs, which they're, I mean, this is a deep AFC this year in terms of the playoffs. We've laid it out all week. What, nine teams with six wins already? They have four, and they can go to 5-5 with a win over the Texans. Nevertheless, even though they're out of the playoffs, I think the Patriots fan base feels pretty good. You know what? You lost all these players that we've laid it out, and I think the fans in New England, if they've kind of recalibrated everything, I think they feel pretty good about this team.
Because as much as you like to win championships, and God, y'all have won a lot in Boston the last 2 decades, as awesome as it is, and a lot of times it's championship or bust, I don't want to say it's like a breath of fresh air or something new. It's got to be kind of rewarding to see that this Patriots team, who had all the opt-outs, who basically had to change their system, who had to do all these things, is still fighting their ass off. I mean, they're maximizing the talent they got, to the surprise of very few. They're maximizing the talent they got. And life after Brady, while Brady's doing his thing in Tampa Bay, he's obviously with a much more talented team. I think this is, I don't want to say you're more proud of this team than you were the teams during the 20 years. I don't want to get carried away.
Yeah.
But if I were a Patriots fan, and for damn near 2 decades, I had the luxury, which we had for a few years with the Astros, but we only tasted it once. But they had the luxury of, after they won that first Super Bowl with Tom Brady, the Patriots for damn near 2 decades were a Super Bowl or bust team. Mm-hmm. That was it. If don't win the Super Bowl, then this season sucked. This sucked.
And then all of a sudden, you collapse the team and basically gut it, and you still feel pretty good.
I think you got to be proud of this team. Yeah. I think you really got to be proud of this team if you're a Patriots fan.
Oh, heck yeah.
I'm sure there's some fans that are spoiled, that have gotten very fat and happy and expect to win championships more than not winning them. But if I was a Patriots fan, I would be very proud of this squad that you have in front of them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think because you see that, okay, well, and you're realistic about it, you know, with everybody gone, as we said. But you see, like, potential with the young running back. I mean, they have this really good undrafted, I believe, cornerback, J.C. Jackson.
They have two undrafted guys starting.
Right.
And undrafted.
I think he's got 5 picks.
I think the rookies know something.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
They seem to.
Undrafted. J.C. Jackson, I think he was undrafted. But still, I mean, he's a rookie starting. He's got like 4 or 5 picks. You're like, man, we're building something in New England. We're building something in New England. You're just coming off a Super Bowl practically.
And the 2 years ago. And the other crazy thing is about, you know, this whole Patriots thing is, you know, they haven't made the best personnel decisions. Like, they traded a second rounder for Mohamed Sanu, and he didn't even last a year there.
Yeah.
And it was a wasted pick. And they haven't drafted the best guys, but When you make bad personnel decisions, if you have the best coach of all time, he can overcome those.
Yeah,
we don't have that luxury. So hopefully the Texans can hire a coach that's able to, you know, overcome potential personnel errors, because everyone makes them, even the most respected football guys.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they just bring in a GM that's just brilliant and he's a genius, and that happens. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a unique viewing experience for myself. And I'm sure for a lot of Texans fans, and it's got to be strange for the Patriots. But if I'm the Patriots and I'm a Patriot fan, I'd be very proud of what they got going on right now, because I think they're heading in the right direction. And they're competing as they rebuild. Texans, you can say they're rebuilding. They still have the most salary in the NFL, and they still don't have draft picks. Patriots got assets, and they're competing their ass off. So it'll be fun to see what happens Sunday. It's going to be a unique experience. I can't wait to get out there and walk in and just see what it actually is like once it does happen on Sunday at noon. Pre-game getting you started at 9 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 610. Speaking of which, let's trip some balls heading in to the weekend. Friday Future Tripping and a lot more next.
From the Twin Peaks Studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, little Friday Future Tripping coming up here on Sports Radio 610. Week 11 of the NFL started yesterday. Seattle getting the win over the Arizona Cardinals. Angelo Blackson with a sack. Still not quite sure why the Texans decided to cut Angelo Blackson. Played 40% of the snaps on defense last season. He couldn't sack the quarterback, but it's not like they got rid of him for someone who could sack the quarterback. Of all the smart, tough, dependable, the STD guys that you kept around, that was always a weird one with Angelo Blackson. And it's just really strange that, you know, you're willing to take on David Johnson's contract. You're willing to pay half of Jadeveon Clowney's contract to go to Seattle. You're willing to pay Whitney Mercilus one of the worst extensions, one of the worst contracts currently in the NFL. $14 million guaranteed next year, no matter what happens. You play hardball with DJ Reader. You play hardball with Nuke Hopkins. And then all of a sudden, Angelo Blackson, you ask him to take a pay cut, and he plays a position where you could use a lot of help. Ideally, you'd love to rotate him and Charles Omenihu because he's kind of a guy who can stop the run.
Yeah.
He's also very good on special teams. He blocked that punt last year against the Kansas City Chiefs, also blocked a field goal. It's just interesting that of all the STD lingers, the guys who've lingered around because they were smart, tough, dependable, the lingers, you got rid of Angelo Blackson, who you actually could have used this year. Weird.
Well, I mean, he was effective, well-liked, and cheap, so you had to get rid of him. I mean, that's – have you ever heard anything else about Angelo Black? They won a star?
No, and I mean –
I mean, he wasn't great.
If you lay out the percentage of snaps he played and you talked about the lack of sacks that he had, I mean, it was like one of the top five. I think he was one of five players who played that percentage of the snaps the last 2 years and didn't have a sack.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden he's
got
two.
But he was effective.
But he's got a couple in Arizona now.
He was well-liked, and he was cheap. Well, let's get rid of his ass.
And they keep a lot of guys around that just don't help you very much. Like DeAndre Carter, with all the mistakes that DeAndre Carter made as recent as last season, the inability to catch the ball against the Colts, which led to the safety, the Falcons muff that made Andre Ware about as grossed out as I've heard Andre Ware be, the fumble against the Chiefs, the fumble this year, you kept him around. You have a guy in Buddy Hausto here that plays special teams. That can't
linger, man.
Yeah, totally.
Linger.
You have all these STD guys that linger around, and Angelo Blackson's gone. And I'm not sitting here acting like things would be much different with Angelo Blackson. It's just weird. There's no method to the madness.
That's part of it, but to me, it's more of a cumulative effect. And I always try to remind people now, because you just said it, we're going into week 11, Bill O'Brien is fired, things are going to change, and so we want to look forward. But you have to look forward relative to how difficult these guys
are. Relative to.
Oh, I did. I think that's a first for me. How difficult these guys made it to be successful doing that. You know, you said it. Angelo Blackson was not going to get you another win.
No.
You know, he might have helped, get one, but he would have helped J.J. Watt a lot more. He would have helped maybe some of the linebacking issues that you've had a lot more, especially when you don't have any D.J. Reader either. And then, you know, the bigger story is, how are we, you know, you need to save as many of the good players as you can if you're the new regime coming in, because you don't have a lot of assets to just start making over completely the roster. But on the defensive side, you need a lot of help, and it would have been a lot easier if you made the smart decision then.
Angelo Blackson in 3 years with the Texans, one sack. He's got two with the Cardinals already.
Yeah, yeah. But he was an effective player.
It was fine.
What a star.
He was fine. I mean, he helped you out.
That was
a
huge block punt, though, man. Yeah. That turned, moment, it turned the game.
Well, another STD, DeAndre Carter, decided to fumble.
Yeah.
So it didn't go as well. It's just interesting because there was no method to the madness. And I think now you're just, you know, it's almost like salt in the wounds when you watch these games. And you saw what happened. So there it is. 713-572-4610. 0737 on the text line says, why don't you trade Whitney Mercilus for a third or fourth round pick, then stock picks up to move into the second?
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Who's giving a third round or a fourth round pick for Whitney Mercilus for $14 million a year?
Unless y'all willing to pay the whole contract.
Yeah.
Who's doing that?
I mean, that's an EA Sports trade, man. That's a Madden trade.
Madden trade. What are we doing right now? I thought the trade deadline was open. What exactly are we doing? What was Anthony Weaver doing yesterday, getting so angry? And getting angry at poor Aaron Wilson
poor
of
Aaron
the
Wilson.
Houston Crown. Wouldn't hurt a fly.
He wouldn't.
One of the nicest guys in the world. Have you seen his Instagram?
Yeah.
He seems like such a
good
husband.
New bride.
They're always taking pictures of each other and their food.
Yep.
They're always like having photo shoots wherever they go eat.
They go smell flowers at gardens.
They do everything. Pumpkin patch. Yeah. I mean, that is a pumpkin spice couple.
You're darn right it is.
That is
you're darn right it is.
I love Aaron. Race car!
I love Aaron, but that is a well pumpkin dressed. Spice couple. Always.
Always well dressed.
Always classy.
Who would get mad at Aaron Wilson?
Per restaurant sitting, how many pictures would you say Aaron Wilson and his bride take? Per restaurant sitting. And I'm talking from when you get out of the car to when you get there. At least 20.
That's a lot.
Do they sit on the same side?
No, they sit on the opposite side. They'll take pictures of each other.
And then the food.
Across. Then they'll take pictures of all the food. Then they'll take a picture outside.
Yeah.
And then if there's something cool, they'll take a picture.
It's about
there.
Every day. But Aaron Wilson also pulls off, and this is hard to pull off. I don't even attempt it. The two different
suit colors.
Yes. Yeah. Shirt is different than the suit.
Yeah.
And then the design on the tie is different than the shirt. He pulls it off. I can't do that. What's I need that, to have solid colors.
What's that game called? Croquet?
Yeah, croquet on the He's, grass.
He looks like a guy who would play some croquet.
He would play some croquet. He'd go to a polo match.
But the point
and I'm not
is,
talking water polo. I'm talking horses.
But the point is Aaron Wilson ain't like some sort of hot take guy. He's a professional.
No, he'll tell you the facts.
He's a newsbreaker. He's going to give you all the numbers. He's going to break down football. He's not a guy that you want to direct your anger at, right?
Right, no. Who would?
Then what was Anthony Weaver doing yesterday?
We got to not give up 60-yard runs at the end of the game, Aaron. This narrative that's being painted like my guys are undisciplined and running around blocks, quite frankly, and to be put it bluntly, is bullshit. My guys play hard. They battle. They're doing the absolute best they can, and they leave their everything they have on that football field to go out there and stone the run. All right, but we expect to go out there and stop the run every time we do it. But to sit here and paint this narrative, There was a question asked to Romeo the other day about the accountability of the defense. Are they
He's
accountable? Hell yeah, they're accountable. Anybody that's worked for me, anything I've done in my entire life has been accountable. And if that's ever questioned, then I'll resign. Okay? But these guys battle. They fight. They're doing everything they can to go out there and stop the run. And we're going to try to do it again this weekend.
Okay.
Who's doing the painting? Not Aaron Wilson. We just talked about
it's not
that.
Aaron Wilson.
He's
it's
got
not
a Paisley
made-up
shirt and a different Paisley tie.
It's not a made-up narrative.
Yeah.
This is where the narrative came from, Anthony. So if you're mad at somebody, don't cuss at Aaron at poor Aaron Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, he's known you since 2002. Why are you getting mad at Aaron? My goodness, the guy's just trying to take selfies with his girl and take a picture of the pork chop, the oversized pork chop, and the nice sides. Like, what are we doing here? Here's where the narrative came from.
I think some guys felt like that they needed to try to make a play. And sometimes making a play is totally getting out of your gap. Then he gets on you and pushes you wide, which creates a scene. So, you know, we have all of that kind of going on. I think guys started feeling like they needed to make a play. Sometimes when you try to make the play yourself, you get out of position or you create seams in the defense. And so some of that was happening. And so we just got to have to get to the point where we are disciplined and focused.
That's where it came from. There's the painter.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's it.
There's
your narrative.
Narrative that's being painted.
There it is, Anthony.
Although I said this earlier and I completely, you know, want to reiterate here. I like Weaver's passion. It's not his fault.
I feel sorry for him.
He's been given what he's been given in terms of personnel. And guys playing out of position, a lot of times it's because they're just not real good players. I mean, you know, it all jives. It all goes together.
There's your guy, though, right? That's your guy.
That's your guy.
That's your guy. By the way, we talked about DeAndre Swift with the Lions starting. It looks like he's going to be out this week. So Adrian Peterson can keep starting.
Another bit of news that is more directly affecting the Texans, the Laremy Tunsil did not practice for the third consecutive game.
He's not going to play.
Like if you don't practice on Friday, you don't play. Generally speaking, maybe
why is he going to push it? Let's be honest. Like you can say we want to go out there and battle, but if you're Laremy Tunsil and you got a cold, like 2-7, just relax.
Just got a target on my back.
Hey, just relax, dude. Mm-hmm. Just as a matter of fact, don't even show up to the stadium. Just chill.
So no Laremy.
Yeah, just relax. Mm-hmm. Just hang out, sit at home, do whatever you want to do when you're at home.
I don't know what he likes to do when he's at home.
Well, that's kind of in the past. But
is it?
Kind of in the past. But,
is it?
I think. But no, just relax, Laremy. Enjoy yourself. I kind of want to see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what it looks like they might be starting Roderick Johnson at left tackle. Oh, maybe they move Titus over.
Pray for Deshaun.
Just start McCarron, man.
Charlie Heck might be active.
Throw him to the Lions, man.
Charlie Heck might be active, dude.
Yeah. Oh, Collie Waring. We need to find out
the
on
the deadline's
him.
Tomorrow at 3 o'clock 3 if they want to activate him.
If they can't activate him.
He's done.
Done.
He's done. Well, he's officially done in 3 days. So on Monday, if Kahale Waring's not activated, that is another Kahale Waring season where they just kind of stashed him on IR. Now, if he wants to be active if they want him to be active for the game on Sunday, tomorrow, I think the deadline,
3 p.m.
Texans cap, my man Troy put that out
How bad was that pick?
Good gracious.
And you're going to see the guy who went after him. And you kind of needed a running back at the time, but you're going to see Damian Harris, who went the exact pick after Kahale Waring, mm-hmm. the leading rusher in this game of anyone else. He has more rushing yards than David Johnson. He has more rushing yards than Duke Johnson.
And he's coming off a really good game. Like, yeah. He's a tough, tough, finish-the-run kind of guy.
He's probably pretty exciting. You're going to have James White out there, too. Rex Burkhead. I'm mm-hmm. not sure if he's playing or not, but they have a they got a lot of backs in New England. Damian Harris, though, is going to be the guy to look out for tomorrow. Tim Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this guy. This was Tim Kelly talking about Romeo Crennel's notion that the Texans cannot run the ball because of COVID and the impact it had on the offseason. Here was Tim Kelly with a chance to either confirm or deny that theory by Romeo Crennel.
Tim, yesterday Romeo said the unusual offseason, lack of a preseason, has played into some of the struggles of the offensive line. Do you agree with that? And what when do you expect maybe the offensive line to catch up, if that is indeed a factor, and maybe their uneven start?
Yeah, I think uneven is probably a good way to put it. But, you know, as the year has progressed, I feel like that they've done a good job of kind of coming together and really overcoming that. So each and every week we go out there, I'm expecting to see improved play. And for the most case, you know, for the most part, that's been the case. Obviously, there have been a few hiccups, which is the case every year. But we're looking for those guys to come out and be consistent and continue to play well and continue to be a big reason why we're going to have success here.
My goodness. I feel so bad for Deshaun that he has to listen to that guy every day. I mean, that's ridiculous. The offensive line is not improved.
A hiccup would be a good game rushing at this point, and there are numbers to back it up. Let me put it this way. Texans have played 9 games. They're 2-7.
Yeah.
How many times have they rushed for more than 100 yards?
Twice.
3 times. Opening day, night, whatever, 118 yards. Jacksonville Jaguars 129, Jacksonville Jaguars 107.
So just twice against, 2 out of 3 against the Jags. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where you can say this improvement's come from. And the COVID excuse, like, how can you shape your lips to say that?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're returning all 5 offensive linemen, when the year before Carlos Hyde and Laremy Tunsil weren't at camp. Like, how can you shape your lips to say that? It's one thing for Tim Kelly to say it, because Tim Kelly doesn't know. Tim Kelly's not an NFL quality coach. He just followed Bill O'Brien around, and that's why he's here. But Romeo Crennel is 70-plus years old. He has one of the most decorated resumes a coach could possibly have. He's got lots of jewelry, lots of Super Bowl rings. How can he shape his lips to say that?
I think Romeo's just
There's
trying
no benefit to it.
He's just trying to be diplomatic and protect his guys a little bit.
Okay, what's wrong with saying that we're just not blocking like we should, or we're not? He says it about the defense.
He did say it about the defense.
He says the defense isn't filling the gaps.
But that's his baby, too.
But how can you shape your lips to say that?
Yeah.
Like, especially with everyone else having to deal with the exact same thing, how do you do that? Like, how do you make yourself say that? Like, you sound silly.
I mean, I think that's the answer. He doesn't really mess with the offense too much other than, hey, we're going for it here or whatever. So he's just kind of, you know, being diplomatic there. But otherwise, on the defense, that's his baby.
It's crazy.
Man, they have not rushed the ball for squat. Breaking news, by the way. They ran for 51, 29, 79. Good gracious. Other than that, just a couple of hiccups.
Let's trip balls into the weekend.
All
Football
right.
Friday presented by the greatness of Hoppadillo and Carbach. Friday future tripping. What's going to happen this weekend with the Texans and elsewhere if we choose to make predictions elsewhere? Let's start with the OG John Lopez. Give me something.
Boldest of the bold, James Harden will be traded by Monday.
You want to pick a team or you just want to say he's gone?
No, he's gone. A lot of people are saying that they can't find a place for Westbrook and they don't want to spend that money. So the Harden trade has been put on hold. I just don't think they're going to continue. I think they're going to trade him.
Hey, you down with this?
I don't want to be, but I don't know.
How about you? Or do you have a Friday future trip?
Nah, I'm not predicting the Harden. I'm damn sure not calling that Harden shot.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
All right.
That ain't happening. I'm going to start with the Texans. Pharaoh. Whoa, baby. Second straight week with a touchdown. Pharaoh Brown, the taco salad connoisseur, the number 2 tight end for your Houston Texans by way of Oregon. Second straight week with a touchdown.
Well, That means they're going to score at least 14 points because I got Will Fuller back on the TD train this week. Will Fuller will take it yard.
Interception by the Houston Texans secondary. That interception by
what?
Justin Reed.
Oh, I would love
Justin
to see
Reed
that.
Following a rough week. Justin Reed following a rough game against the Cleveland Browns. Justin Reed gets his first interception of the year. He intercepts Cam Newton. A good week for Justin Reed. Back on track for loophole Justin Reed.
I would love to see that. John Weeks.
Uh-oh. Bad snap.
John Weeks.
Bad snap.
Will have.
No way.
A low snap. I'm not going to say bad. Now, we're going to have to use Figgy. You're going to have to be the ultimate judge on this. There's a lot of pressure on John Weeks, man. A lot of eyes on him this year. It's a monumental week. He's breaking Andre Johnson's record. He's always makes good snaps. So we're going to have to use our judgment. Will he, you know, was that a low snap or was it not? I bet you he has at least one low snap just because the pressure on the deep snapper celebrating his 170th consecutive game.
Kyami Fairbairn will miss a field goal, and it will be a big field goal.
Of the snap.
He's got the yips. Kyami Fairbairn's got the yips. By the way, guaranteed $4 million next year, but nobody's counting. Prediction for the game, J-Lo.
Patriots 27, Texans 17.
27-17 Patriots.
Yes.
I'm going to go 27-24 Patriots. Okay. I'm going to say the Patriots get the dub. Texans fall to 2-8, and the Pats improve to .500. Going to be weird. Going to be fun.
Yep.
We'll react with you on Monday on Reaction Monday. Thanks to Lee Sterling for hopping on. Thanks to the Loopholes. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a Loophole. If you don't have to work this weekend, enjoy the weekend however you choose to do so. If you do have to work, remember there is no traffic. For the OG John Lopez, Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do. I'm Landry Locker. We'll talk to you on Reaction Monday. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next. Everybody's
been. Thank you, Peggy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.